Once you're born again, you don't feel like you need to draw on life 24/7. It's just in you, right? But you don't realize sometimes when you get around that which is death, how much life you're bringing to that situation. Like the story she described with the car wreck. Life, just that lady was just, she was attending in the natural because she was a nurse. I think she was a qualified nurse, EMS person. And she was attending in the natural to what she thought here. And the life of God that was just emanating her out of her like kryptonite was just touching lives around her. Amen? Praise the Lord. God is good like that. I was looking for some firewood today at a local store here in town. It's a certain kind of wood I buy each year that's not real expensive, but it's unique. It seems to be difficult to get your hands on at times. And they showed in the web inventory that they had 5 bags of it in the store. So I was patiently waiting, like, Lord, help them find it. And I walked back to the back warehouse, and people started scurrying everywhere. You know, the managers and people, and they're looking in their system. They don't want to stand corrected. You know, that we show 5 in stock, and they can't find the stuff. I just waited patiently, and praise the Lord. One of the young clerk fellows finally found it. It was up on a shelf up high. But, you know, I thought about when Terry shared that just now, that not only life, but light emanates from us, meaning if you step into a situation where there's darkness, confusion, you know, people can't figure stuff out, when you walk into the scene, the light that's in you brings light. Again, more than you know. And where there's confusion, where there's strife, when you and I walk into the scene, that which is in us brings a settledness. Settledness and peace. Amen? So that's in you. That'll preach. Romans 8:2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. It's what John G. Lake staked his faith on when they put that bubonic plague foam in his mouth. Ugh. And they said, he said, now stick my hand under a microscope. And when they did, they saw the germs die immediately when they made contact with his flesh. The germs died because he had such faith, believing in that which was coming out of his inner man, the life of Jesus Christ. Amen. Say that with me. The life of Jesus Christ is in me. Amen? It's in us. Praise the Lord. It's in us. Aren't you glad? Yeah. Hey, I have these flyers. Terry was kind enough to go back to our printer. We did some posters. I hope you'll see them around town. I put one at the library. Did we get one at Dairyland yet? Okay. I put one at the library, the gym here in town. Anywhere I could find a place that had a bulletin board, and those are becoming more and more scarce nowadays, hard bulletin boards. But advertising, next Wednesday night starts our Noah's Ark series. How many of you saw it last spring with us? Raise your hand real high. Let me see how many. How many of you didn't see the series yet, haven't seen it? Oh, Lori Lynn hasn't. Okay, all right, one. Well, Lori Lynn, this ad is for you. So anyways, we had about 100 of these done up. And Kaysen hasn't seen it. That's right. That's right. We'll put him in. We'll make a reserve seat on the front row for Kaysen. And, you know, speaking of that Sunday, I had to just give thanks because we went home after church and, you know, always you can be mindful of who wasn't at church today. And years ago, the Lord corrected us on it and reminded us, always give thanks for who's at church, not who didn't show up for church that day. And so Sunday, we went home and I went home rejoicing, thinking there were 4 babies in this room hearing the word of God for the first time. We had little Rhett Ryan over here. We had Kaysen. We had Izzy back here, Isabella. And who was the 4th? I forget. Henry. Yes. Right over here with the Treadways. Henry, their new grandson. That was so exciting to me to think 4 little babies were hearing the word of God for the first time Sunday. That was just amazing to me. Praise the Lord. So anyways, getting back to Noah. Next Wednesday night starts our 3-week series of discovering Noah's Ark. And if you saw it one time through, you may want to come back again. There's stuff I'm sure you missed, even though it was very thoroughly done, right? But we're actually editing it down to trim it down to 3 weeks. So it'll be a 3 Wednesday nights in a row beginning next Wednesday. Brother Ben's going to be kind enough to emcee this series for us. I'll be out next week. Terry and I are out of town for a conference. But Brother Ben will be emceeing. Rachel will do worship like normal for Wednesday night. And Ben will emcee the event. And so come out, and even if you've seen it again, but what I want to encourage you to do is take these. These are on the kitchen counter back there. There's about 100 of them. Take as many as you think you'll give out, okay? I'll put about 8 of them in my car because you never know when you're out somewhere in public and you want to tell somebody about it. And you can just hand them that flyer. It's got all the details, including a QR code. Ben did a nice job on that for us, all the details. And by the way, for those that have little ones, we are going to have childcare. Can you say yay? Yay. So bring your babies, your kiddos. We're going to have childcare for those three Wednesdays. We'll take care of that. So we want to encourage the young couples and people with kids that normally might not come out on Wednesday nights. Come on out and enjoy the series. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience. Amen? Praise the Lord. Yes, babe. Yeah.
So on the childcare, if you want to volunteer to be a part of that, please see Audrey. If you can't get to her, see me, because we're going to have to kind of just volunteer, those of us that have already seen it, so we can watch the kiddos so others can come in. And yeah.
Amen. Oh, okay. Yeah. And one last note about that. Again, I'm really pushing for this to be an evangelistic experience, right? I know this is enjoyable for us. And like I said, Sunday, we don't need to see the ark to believe it exists, but your unbelieving neighbor does. They might, right? Your coworker. And it's a very easy shoe-in to say, hey, did you know they've discovered Noah's ark? I mean, that's just so easy. You don't have to, not that I'm not trying to say the name Jesus. I'm just saying it's not as off-putting as being hardcore direct with the gospel. Are you with me? We get them in the door. We're going to preach Jesus. All right. but do tell your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers about it and see if you can get some people here. We're going to give altar calls. If we see people in the audience that are visitors, we're going to give an altar call all 3 weeks for people to receive the Lord. Amen. So we're going to use it as an evangelistic thrust everywhere we can. Praise the Lord. And Brenda, I expect you to take at least 10 of these. As many people as you see in the world, at least 10 ought to go out of in your hand tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, turn your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 13, and we'll pray and get right into the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 13. Oh, and we have an announcement about t-shirts. Do we have that slide? Can you bring that up, Alan, please? Ladies, the store closes November 6th. Is that correct? Well, we're going to verify that date. But the t-shirt shop is open. So you ladies, well, we've got caps and t-shirts of all shapes and sizes and colors and fun stuff. Terry and Audrey did a really good job putting all this together. The QR code's there if you want to go to the store and order you some, as they call it, merch, right? Get some merch going. And, you know, they are lady models, even though they don't look like it, right? But these are lady t-shirts. Guys, we'll do more later in the year. We hope to get some guy t-shirts as well that don't look flowery like this. But anyways, you know, I sometimes wonder when I wear my shirt out in public, how often people look at the website on the back of the, you know, the old original black t-shirts we had. It says befellowship.org. I wonder how many people, you know, Google that, look at that website out of curiosity and just explore us a little bit. So wear this stuff to, again, it's just an open door to tell people about the Lord and about the church. Amen. We're not trying to build a church, but we are trying to cooperate with Him building His. Amen. When people get in church, good things happen, right? So we want to encourage church. Praise the Lord. All right, Father, we thank you for the Word of God tonight. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, our teacher. Thank you for growing us up in Christ. Thank you for every good thing that we have in you, Jesus. We're just so grateful tonight. Lord, as we just preempt November, we'll just go ahead and start tonight being grateful for all that you've made us in Christ Jesus, for the unsearchable riches of Christ. We thank you, Holy Spirit. I ask you to deposit in us tonight that which is of your good desire, Father, and make it plain to us, make it clear to our hearts and to our eyes so we can see it and walk in your ways in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was reading, the Lord prompted me to read the book of Hebrews this week, so I took time out to do that. When I got to the last part, I said, man, that verse right there stands out. It's just in line with what God seems to be drumming in my heart lately. So I want to start with this verse, Hebrews 13:20. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. I love that phrase. Isn't that wonderful? That great shepherd of the sheep. May he equip you. Look at verse 21 and have your pens ready, please. Equip you with everything good for doing his will. Wow. And may he work in us. Boy, that's a powerful phrase right there. Work in us. Say, work in us. That's what God is doing. Amen. He's working in us. He's working in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God is working in us that which is pleasing to him. And how does he do it? Through Jesus Christ. Amen? Through the vine. We're connected to the vine. Amen? We're connected to the vine. Jesus is our vine. He's our great life supplier, our supply line, if you will. And through him, through Jesus, God is planting in us, like we shared Sunday, desires. The word desire, again, D-E, the first part of that word, D, means of. Sire means to father. So God is fathering in his children his desires. Amen? That we might glorify Jesus. Isn't that amazing? I could just park there all night, but I got more to say. I heard a really good quote in the last 2 weeks. I've heard lots of good quotes. I hear lots of good quotes all the time. So I'm going to share this one with you. This is really powerful. And I think this is from Reverend Joel's book on healing. God's grace by itself accomplishes nothing. Now that almost sounds sacrilegious, doesn't it? It almost sounds like we're putting down or belittling God's grace. But listen to that phrase. God's grace by itself accomplishes absolutely nothing. It's like two chemicals that go together, that when you put them together, right, they react to each other. But until they get together, both of them are what? They're like in a neutral state, right? They're inactive. And yet, when you put together those two things, they can be explosive, right? God's grace. Now, think about it. What has God's grace given us? Well, he's given us tops, salvation. Amen? I mean, the eternal saving of a human from hell, the hell that we deserve. How amazing is that? God's grace is powerful enough to save a human being. And yet, God's grace by itself, as powerful as it is in saving people, by itself, it accomplishes nothing. What do I mean by that? It must be mixed with faith. It must be met with a faith response in order for it to activate. Amen? My grandson was really taken the last couple weeks with all the acorns that were dropping everywhere in our yard. We've got two oak trees in our front yard, and they're just dropping like, you know, like it's raining in all over our yard, our driveway. I go out every morning, blow the driveway off. And I was thinking about those acorns because they were starting to stack up in the grass now that I'm blowing them all off. Eteria had some concerns about it. And I said, well, I think unless they get underground, they're just going to break down, biodegrade, you know, and they do seem to break down pretty quick. And yet you think of the power of that, as my grandson calls it, the egg corn, the egg corn. Think of what is potent in just one of those egg corns. Right? If properly planted and nourished, give it 20 years, that thing will be a mighty oak tree. That's the power of God's grace in our life. It has the power to produce amazing things. And yet, if it goes unmet with faith, that egg corn will just rot on the ground. And Paul said in Galatians 2:21, King James Version, the first part of it says, do not frustrate, or he said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I don't frustrate the grace of God. In other words, I do what I must do on my part to meet God's grace so it will be effective, right? So we have a part to play, and that part is to meet God's grace, his power, his potential with our faith. That's our part in the equation. We must meet grace with faith. I like at the end of F.F. Bosworth's book on Christ, called Christ the Healer. How many of you have Christ the Healer or have read it? Great, great book on healing. I encourage all of you to have that in your library. You should all have a faith library, books that you refer back to. And you know, we have a tendency, because most of us hated school, right? If you're normal, to some degree, in any given stage of or grade. To some degree, we did what we had to do to get by. And so we read what we had to read, but we put those books aside. We never wanted to go back to them again. That is not how you should live as a Christian. Amen. There's a great quote. Where's my phone? I have it. Oh, it's here. I must share this quote with you. It's tremendous. It wasn't part of my message, but it is now. This is by, how many of you have heard of Charles Spurgeon? Charles Spurgeon has a great quote about books. It's So give me a second. I'll give it. It's worth the wait. Trust me. I have lots of sayings, so I have to scroll down here. Okay. I'll summarize it since it's lost in space. Charles Spurgeon said you should go back and reread your books over and over and over again. Pour over the pages, right? Let them speak to you, especially if a book really meant something to you, you know, in Christ. You should highlight it, mark it. All my books are marked up to pieces. And then you go back and you pour over that. Why? Because that way God can layer upon layer that truth in your heart. Amen. Everything in the kingdom is layered. It's about repetition, right? And so, again, in Christianity, again, we don't just read a book and then set it aside. We read it and read it. So anyways, I was going back to Christ the Healer, F.F. Bosworth. So in F.F. Bosworth's book, at the end of the book, if you haven't read the back, that's the best part. And if you didn't know it, F.F. Bosworth was himself dying of a physical ailment before he got miraculously healed and then became a healing evangelist that touched the world. But F.F. was, he was challenged by a little Methodist woman, I think she was. I don't remember her name, but in the book, it's just tremendous. And she basically told him, you know, F.F. Bosworth, he asked her to pray for him. And she was like, you know, if you're just going to lay there and die, I'm not going to do nothing for you. Basically, she said, if you just stay there, you're going to die, F.F. In other words, she was like, you ought to be on your feet. You ought to be whole. Right? And we've been doing a series called Made Rich, in which we've tried to emphasize with you that in Christ, you ought to be rich. Right? The Bible makes it clear. There should be no poor among us. And rich is it's a progressive condition. Amen? It doesn't mean you have to be a millionaire tomorrow. It just means you grow in your ability to abound to others. Amen? So that's what we're talking about. But she basically laid the law down and said, I'm not going to pray for you unless you'll be willing to get up. She rebuked him. I love it. And at the same token, I would say this, you and I ought to be creatively cooperating with God. The name of my message tonight is cooperating with grace. We ought to be whole, we ought to be rich, and we ought to be creative. Amen? We ought to be experiencing the creative desires of God coming into our heart and us cooperating with that grace that he deposits and moving with our faith connected to that grace so that it can have the explosive result that God desired. Does that make sense? Yeah. Look at this verse in Joshua 18. This verse, I came across it the other day and I said, man, for some of us, and I'll just look at myself in the mirror because I have to start with myself as the pastor. This verse, I mean, it might as well be the audible voice of God for some of us tonight, for where we're at in life. God speaks, you know, God speaks as strong through the Bible as he does audibly, right? We don't wait for an audible voice and say, God never speaks to me. Don't say that. He'll speak to you every day you open this book if you're willing to open the book. Look at Joshua 18:3. This is so potent. Joshua 18:3. So Joshua said to the Israelites, this is him talking to the children of Israel, how long will you wait before you begin to take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? Some of us are waiting. I used to, I can't believe I said this years ago, but I did. I had an attitude. I guess I kind of learned it from my dad because he always used to put in those publisher clearinghouse things, those silly things that come in the magazine, right? To be a millionaire with the publisher's clearinghouse, million dollar giveaway. Or whatever. Some of you, that's before your time, is back when we read magazines regularly. And the publisher's clearinghouse. But I used to say, you know, one day my ship will come in. You know, I kind of had that attitude of one day my ship will come in. I'm waiting for my ship to come in. That is not to be our attitude in the kingdom. Joshua made it clear to the Israelites, what are you waiting for? Why are you waiting before you begin to take possession of what the Lord, the God of your fathers, has what? Given you. See, grace gives. Faith takes. Amen. Grace has given through Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, saints, there's nothing that you and I could imagine in this life that God has not already given us through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Say every spiritual blessing. Amen. Every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. We have it all. Whatever you need, whatever you could desire, your heart's biggest desire, I guarantee you cannot outdream God in this life. You say, well, Pastor, I could wish for some pretty big things. I'm telling you, your father knows what tickles your fancy. And there's nothing you could wish for or imagine that he would not already have given you in Christ, because he's given you Christ. Jesus is heaven's greatest gift. In him is it's like the package that represents God's best, heaven's best. Amen. And he's already given us heaven's best. I want to read to you another testimony. For how many of you have had a chance to pick up the book I recommended, Acres of Diamonds? Well, there's still time. I mean, between now and whenever. It's written by Russell Conwell. It's a great read, I'm telling you. Acres of Diamonds is the story of people throughout history who have made history because they were willing to step out and do something with an idea. They may have not have acknowledged it at the time that God gave them the idea, but they did something with a creative idea, like the guy who invented the weed eater. Aren't you glad, guys, that someone had the notion to put fishing line on a spinning wheel, and that's made our life so much easier? How many of you remember the clippers we used to use this when I was a kid in the 70s, clipping around the edge of the house? You squeeze it this way, and the snipper, it's like scissors, right? And that's how we used to trim the weeds around the edge of the house. Some of you are looking at me in shock, like, you really did that? Yes, there was a time before weed eater. We call it BW, before weed eaters. And then there's AW for after weed eater, after the weed eater was invented. This is page 15 of Acres of Diamonds. This is Russell Connell talking. This is a man who, for decades, went around the country and gave lectures on what he called the story of the Acres of Diamonds. He said, I spoke to an audience in New Britain, Connecticut once, and a lady four seats back went home and tried to take off her collar, and the collar button stuck in the buttonhole. She threw it out and said, I'm going to get up something better than that to put on collars. And some of you ladies are looking at me like, what in the world's a collar? I have no idea, but apparently back then they wore them. Her husband said, after what Conwell said tonight, you see there is a need of an improved collar fastener that is easier to handle. There is a human need. There is a great fortune. Now then, get up a collar button and get rich. He made fun of her and consequently made fun of me. And that is one of the saddest things which comes over me like a deep cloud of midnight sometimes, although I have worked so hard for more than half a century, yet how little I have ever really done. Notwithstanding the greatness and the handsomeness of your compliments tonight, he's talking to his audience, Conwell is, I do not believe there is one in 10 of you that is going to make $1 million because you are here tonight. But it is not my fault. It is yours. I say that sincerely. What is the use of my talking if people never do what I advise them to do? Well, getting back to the story, he says, when her husband ridiculed her, she made up her mind she would make a better collar button. And when a woman makes up her mind, she will, and does not say anything about it, she does it. It was that New England woman who invented the snap button, which you can find anywhere now. It was first a collar button with a spring cap attached to the outer side. Any of you who wear modern waterproofs know the button that simply pushes together, and when you unbutton it, you simply pull it apart. That is the button to which I refer and which she invented. She afterward invented several other buttons and then invested in more, and then was taken into partnership with great factories. Now that woman goes over the sea every summer in her private steamship. Now that was a big deal back then, a private steamship. Yes, and she takes her husband with her. And if her husband were to die, she would have enough money left now to buy a foreign duke or count or some other such title as that. And she just might do it for him making fun of her collar button, right? So what's the point of the story? Don't make fun of your wife. Someone saw a need, right? Do you see a need? Christians ought to be the best business owners. We really ought to be the best entrepreneurs in the world, because we have not only good ideas, we have the light of life in us. Amazing, amazing. Yeah, the Bible calls it witty inventions. Bill Johnson told a story. I was listening to him today, and he told a story. He said recently, whenever this was recorded, this message of his, he said a man had come to him after the service and said, I recently read your book, Dreaming with God. And that's the book I picked up about 13 years ago when I first was introduced to Bill's writings. I bought that one book of his, Dreaming with God. This man was a painter making $14 an hour. And one day he got an idea, and he decided to develop that idea. And he said, after I developed that idea, I sold the company for $460 million. $460 million. So he came up to Bill after the service to let him know that. He said, by the way, I just recently got another idea. See, God's got ideas like the sand on the seashore. We ought to be the ones developing them, cultivating them. Amen? Because there's more money out there to be enjoyed. And it's not about money, but you know, the heathen don't know anything more to do with money than just spend it on themselves. We know what more to do with the overage. Amen? And we ought to be doing it. That's the point. But God's got ideas. How many of you would like an idea like that from God, right? You know, I've noticed around Alvin lately, I don't know about the other communities. I haven't really perused them, but we've been in Alvin about almost 30 years now. Is it 30 or 40? No, I guess 30. 30 years since we came back to Alvin in 1996. And I've noticed a lot of just kind of come and go businesses. There is a lot of opportunity in this town for a legitimate good business besides tobacco and some rinky-dink other just kind of resale. If you like resale stores, that's not to knock them. I'm just saying we've got plenty of them. We don't need another. Someone just opened a junk selling store, and then it goes out of business in a year, year and a half. That's a bad use of some of these buildings around here. Some of y'all ought to get some good ideas from Jesus and go down and get you a cheap lease space here in Alvin and make a legitimate business. We ought to revive this town with some strong businesses, good businesses, something that will bless the public with a product that people really want and also make a fortune for the kingdom of God. Because we got a job to do in this earth. Amen. The gospel has to get out, and it takes money to do it. It takes money to do it. Let me say this about faith, because we're talking about the proper response to God's grace. Faith moves. If you're taking notes, please write that down. Faith makes a move. Faith moves. And so many of us are like a... See, God's putting his amen on that by blinking the lights. Faith makes a move. And so many of us are just like a stone, and we just sit there, and God may have given you 10 ideas over the years that would have made you a fortune. But if you don't do anything with the idea, it's just like an acorn just rotting on the ground. Has the potential for a huge, mighty oak tree, but you've done nothing with it. I've done nothing with it. I'm not just pointing the finger at anybody tonight. This is me too. Faith moves, and at the very least, it moves air with words. Amen? You know, I don't know if you understand how sound works. I've done a little research on it just with my interest in music, but sound is actually the movement of air. It's kind of like water. Like when you throw a rock into the water, you know, you'll see the waves go out and they kind of come back, right? If they hit something, it reverberates back. But air is that way. When you and I vocalize something, we're actually pushing. Think of it, air. There's air molecules, and we're piercing those molecules with our words. And if they're words of faith, it's more than just a physical movement of air. Amen. It's a movement in the spirit. But faith moves. Faith moves air at the very least. It at least speaks. Here's some other examples of what faith does. Faith takes a brochure home. Faith takes a test drive. Right? That's what you did, Kathy. Faith books a plane reservation. Faith bites the bullet and makes a purchase. You know, when you make a purchase, you're actually making room for God. Because as your money goes out, you're leaving a deficit that it temporarily is leaving a gap for by faith for God to fill again. It's not healthy for us to hoard money. It's healthy for us to be moving money. It's like river. It's like water, right? You know, the Dead Sea doesn't flow out. That's why it's dead. It has water that comes in from the Jordan River above it. If you look north to south on the map, the Jordan River flows into the Dead Sea, but the Dead Sea has no outlet. And it's dead. There's no life in it. And our money, our bank account's that way too. You can get to a point where you think, well, nothing exciting's happening in my life. Well, have you moved some money lately? And that could be money for yourself. I'm not just talking about giving at church, you know. Maybe God's put something in your heart. Maybe God's put something in your hand to fulfill a desire you've had for a long time, but you're unwilling to actually spend the money on it. See, it takes faith to actually make a move and make a purchase sometimes. But when you do, what it's sort of like there's a proverb that says the lazy man won't even bring the fork to his mouth. You know, when he won't even roast his game that he's caught. He won't hardly bring the fork to his mouth. See, the Lord will put food on your table, but you got to bring the fork to your mouth. Lord will put money in your hands, but if you don't actually spend that money, and it feels, like I said, it feels like a temporary loss, but it's actually exciting because it honors God. I'm not talking about all frivolous spending, but some spending actually is a way of honoring God, because what you're saying is, God, you gave me this. I had this desire before you gave me the money, and now you've given me the money, and so I'm going to show the world your goodness, in a sense, by what I bring into my life through this purchase. Does that make sense? You're honoring God because he gave you the money to buy that thing. He won't send that thing via Amazon directly to your doorstep, but he'll give you the funds to buy it. Faith makes a purchase. Turn to Philemon. It's the book right before Hebrews, so that makes it easier to find and say it that way. Philemon chapter 1. There's only one chapter. Paul's in prison when he wrote Philemon, and he had hope. One day he'd get out. And he writes this verse 22. I've shared this with you before. It bears repeating. Everything in the kingdom bears repeating. Praise the Lord. And one thing more. You can see it on the slide here. If you don't have your Bible, look up on the screen. And one thing more. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope. Faith hopes. I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. I've heard more than one story of women who were believing God for a baby, and God prompted them to paint the baby's room, right? Decorate the baby's room. Maybe buy some clothes for the closet. Faith prepares a room. Paul said, I'm believing that your prayers are going to get me out of this prison cell, so go ahead and get the room ready. Right? Faith makes the room ready. You know, people say sometimes, you never know what God will do. Well, you will not ever know what God will do unless you start taking steps, making some moves. But when you make moves, you'll see what God will do. Amen. Make a move. Take your faith and make a move and see what God will do. Jesus took the loaves and the fish. He held them up. He gave thanks for them. First of all, he didn't go, this isn't enough. No, he gave thanks for what he had. He presented it to God. He broke it and distributed it. He did something with what he had. You see? Faith makes a move. And then God did his part. He multiplied the food. Praise the Lord. We need to banish small thinking. The seed is always small. Right? I shared with you a couple weeks ago. Make sure I say it correct. I don't have it in my notes in front of me. Greatness starts with smallness, I think is how I said it, right? Or smallness leads to greatness. Greatness starts with smallness. So the seed is always small. In other words, the faith step that you and I are presented with now to take, it's like a game of chess. God gives you the desire. And then you and I have to, from that, we have to perceive, what is my move to initiate this faith dream, this faith goal that I'm moving toward, right? We have to take a step. And that's like Jesus, you know, breaking the bread, the fish, and presenting it. And in that next step, then God will make a move. Amen? God will bless. And then God will direct your next move. But we have to banish small thinking. Small thinking focuses only on the size of the seed. Oh, this acorn's worthless. It'll never produce anything. No, if you plant it, nourish it, you'll see an oak one day from that egg corn, as Caleb calls it. I love this quote from an African pastor I listened to recently. He said, attempt great things for God. Attempt great things for God. You might say it this way. Attempt great things in God, because God stirs up the desire first, right? Amen. But we work with God. We're co-laborers, as I shared Sunday. We're co-laborers together. With the grace of God, we must attempt the great things that God puts in our hearts. The body of Christ right now is working from a deficit, but God's catching us up. He's catching us up. We fumbled with, threw down, rejected in some ways years ago, the message of prosperity, the message of God's ability to multiply seed and bless us. But the Holy Spirit, you know, when he teaches us something, he's not second guessing himself. Amen. But God will, in this hour, in this final hour of history, he will pour his grace upon us if we'll open our hearts to it. And we can be a part of an amazing blessing to reach the earth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You have any concluding thoughts to that? Not at the moment? Okay. I really believe that we need some financiers in the kingdom. And a financier does not mean you have to have the ability to earn millions. It means you open your heart to receive millions. If you receive it here, it'll come. Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I'm not talking about mind over matter, but these are principles that the word teaches to move us into a place of enlargement to where our life can receive from God that which he wants to plant in us for his greatness, for the glory of the name of Jesus. Amen. We need some financiers. We need those who labor in the kingdom, those who pray, and those who pay. Maybe God's calling you to pay, to be a payer. But I want to encourage you, as we read in Joshua 18:3, for some of you payers, this word is a word to you. How long will you wait? How long will you wait? Maybe God's given you an idea, given you a motivation, and you just thought, well, I don't have the capital to do it. Your mind has reasoned out the how. You've rejected the seed of the idea based on the how. You haven't figured out the how. And so you've taken that acorn and just thrown it off instead of looking and going, I don't know how, but God will make a way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. I want to pray for those that feel. Alan, if you'll just put some prayer music on for me, please. I want to pray for those tonight specifically that you say in your heart, God has quickened you that you're to be a financier of the kingdom of God. I don't just mean Believer's Fellowship. I mean the kingdom. Because this thing's bigger than our church. Amen? And so this is going to involve missions work. See, it was God who said, I'll make you the head and not the tail. I'll make you above and not beneath. I'll make you the lender, not the borrower. Because in another place, he said, the borrower is what? Servant to the lender. See, it's time for Christians to be able to just pay cash for stuff. Not be a slave to anybody. Not to have someone dictate. I'm so thankful, so thankful for 105 West Blackstone. We are no longer a slave to some other dictate of when we can meet, how late, how long we can meet, and if we can meet, and how quickly we got to pick up the tables and whatnot. Praise the Lord. We have a place of our own. We're no longer a slave to the landlords. They were good to us. We bless the college. We bless La Quinta. But ownership is better. Amen. And God has ownership for us. I like what Reverend Jesse Duplantis says. He says, God's not expecting you to pay for it. He's expecting you to believe for it. So if you're called to be a financier, I want to pray specifically for you tonight. I want to ask you to come up. It won't take a long time to do this because I know it's Dairy Queen hour. But I do want to take a few minutes to pray. If you need healing in your body, of course, do not leave here sick. And we'll pray for you as well. But if you're called to be a financier, you know that. You know, if I wasn't called to the ministry right now, I'd be out there making as much money in this world. And just come on up, line up. Go ahead. I would be out there taking as much money from the heathen as I could. I mean, every filthy lucre dollar and to put it into the kingdom. Why? Because this is where lives are changed. This is where bodies are healed. This is where children are born because women couldn't get pregnant. This is where miracles take place. This is where marriages are healed. This is where the good stuff happens in the kingdom. Amen. And God has good things for his people in the kingdom. But it's going to take some people who God anoints. The Bible refers to them as kings. These are the kings of the Old Testament. The kings were the rulers. The prophets were the ones who heard from God. The kings were the ones who ruled. And so God wants to use influence, the influence of money, to shift the world powers in this age and in this time. Amen? So I believe God's going to anoint you. Can I have the oil there, Terry, if it's right there by you? I think it's up on the chair. There, thanks. And a Kleenex or two. And I'm just going to go down the road. Yeah, just crank that music up, Alan. Those of you that aren't up here, my goodness, this is almost the whole church. We're going to have a rich church one day. But God is going to anoint you. Amen. God is going to anoint you. I believe if you'll open your heart to receive tonight, tonight will be the beginning of God planting in you the ability to grow wealth. Amen. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, the power to get wealth, that God may establish his covenant that he made to Abraham. Abraham was a very wealthy man. David was a billionaire. Solomon a trillionaire. Biblical, good, godly men and women were rich and did good things with their money. Amen. So just lift your hands to heaven. I'm going to anoint you. I don't understand this, how this can happen, but the Holy Spirit is going to empower you to get wealth in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, you too, huh, Bob? Yeah, we can't forget you.
Praise I got to have my, yeah. It's time. It's time.
Amen. Come on, Luke. Amen. Get up in here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for generational wealth coming their way. Father, that which has been sown generations before and leading up to and in their lives as well. The blessing sown, Lord, on their behalf. I thank you for the mighty harvest coming to them now. Released now in Jesus' name. Every hindrance removed in the name of Jesus. Angels released on behalf of Bob and Janice, Lord, and this whole household for the funds that are theirs in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for release tonight in Jesus' name to the glory of God. Power to get wealth. Power to establish the covenant of Abraham in the earth in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For ideas, dreams, inventions, wit, skill, understanding. Thank you, Lord. No fear. No fear. Thank you, Father. You walk with him. You lead him in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. That your name, your great name, will be exalted through Luke in the days ahead. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, let's just praise him. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in us. Thank you, Lord. For generations to come, we'll see the result of what you're depositing in us tonight, this very night. Thank you, Lord. For generations to come, for ages to come, to the glory of Jesus Christ. May glory in your church both now and evermore. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord bless you. May this be the start tonight moving forward. Amen. Bless you in Jesus' name.